1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll read two scriptures there, verse 46 and 47. I'm reading the New Living Translation. We'll talk about giants today. And specifically, let's talk about how to talk to your giant, how to slay your giant. The scripture says here, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46 and 47, the New Living Translation. It says, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47. "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and spear, but this is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." I want to just make a point here that the word of God in your mouth has just as much power as it is in the mouth of Jesus when he walked this land. We call this earth. You know, some days you might feel like a giant killer. Some days you might feel like a grasshopper. But you're really a giant slayer. You look at the Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 and 32, as a reference, you know, they were talking about giants in the land, but God wanted them to go and take the land and take out the giants. So I love what Mark Hankins always tells us every summer when we go to camp meeting. He says, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. And that's referring to David when he ran against the Goliath, the giant. So we all have some kind of trouble that can be very gigantic, or can be giant-like in form before us, hindering or not allowing us to move forward in life. We'll never underestimate the power of our words to defeat the enemy or the giant. The words coming from your mouth can either make you or break you. The Bible is full of teaching that will reveal to you that you can accomplish with faith, which fill faith in your mouth with faith, fill words. Jesus told his disciples, "You can have whatever you say," in Mark 11, 23. And furthermore, he said, "If you believe your very own words," that's of course in line with Scripture, "if you believe in your own words and say with your heart, you can move your mountain." We call this the confession of faith. And so, you know, when we make statements every day, a lot of us, you know, in passing, we discuss different things, we talk about different things with one another. But we have to be cognizant about what manner are we speaking. When we begin to talk, are we, you know, talking from both sides of our mouth or one side of our mouth, or are you saying something for God or with God, or are you saying something out of your unbelief? We say things every day even without even thinking. We believe, you know, we should believe in our words. Your tongue is hooked up to your heart, the Bible says. Jesus made the statement, "O generation of vipers," in Matthew 12, 34, 35. He's talking to the religious people there. "O generation of vipers, how can you be evil? How can you, being evil, speak good things?" He's talking about people who are evil. You know, you produce whatever you are. Whatever you're full of, that's what you produce. Out of the abundance of the heart, that's your spirit man, that's your inner man, whatever you put in there is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, your words every day reveal where your faith's at. Whatever you talk about, whatever you say, that's where you're heading. The way you talk is exactly where you're heading. And if you want to change the direction, because the Bible says in James, it says your tongue is actually a rudder, like a big ship carrying, going in a direction that it wants to, or it's like, you know, the bit in a horse's mouth, which moves the animal, the horse, wherever it wants to go. He said, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, bringeth forth evil things. This is Matthew 12, 34, 35, King James. Our words reveal what we have stored in our hearts. The Apostle Paul puts it this way when he quotes the psalmist. He said, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know, we need to speak the language of faith. It's a positive word. No matter what's going on in your life, don't speak evil. No matter how grim and how bad it looks, don't even say it. Don't even talk about it. If you can't say something, don't even speak. Take time every day, whenever you can, or make the time to put or to store out God's word in your heart. Then you can have what you say. No, you just can't have just any old thing you want to say, but you can have anything you say spoken from your heart that's based on the scriptures. You can have what God's already provided for you. Everything you ever need has already been arranged, provided for by God. Before you ever have a problem, anything comes up in your life, God has a solution for it. And so that's where we got to see. Now, if you don't see it, it's because you haven't read the Bible. Maybe you've casually went through it. But if you deeply look into the Bible and read the scriptures, you begin to take note of that. So the father of the prodigal son said to the elder son, who complained to his dad that he didn't kill him a fatted calf because he was jealous of his wayward brother who went out, spent all his money on righteous living or evil ways, and he spent all his money on prostitutes and partying all the time, and he lost all his money. And when he came home, his dad threw a party for him. His son didn't like it. He was jealous of him. How many times we see somebody who got born again just yesterday getting blessed, and we've been living for Jesus for a long time, and we haven't really been blessed as much as they were. But God loves you just as much as he loved them. But he said, everything I have belongs to you. That's what he told the son here. Let's go look at Luke chapter 15, verse 31, the latter section of that verse. After the complaint, his father said to him, look, grab somebody's ear. Actually, it doesn't say that in that translation, but other translations that I read, no, it's not in there. His father said to him, look, dear son. I wonder if he said that softly or just really, really hard. I guess maybe he's sentimental, or was he really, you know, let me tell you something, dear son. Or did he say, oh, dear son, let me tell you something. You have always stayed with me. And I don't know why. No, he didn't say that either. That's a Roman Fisher translation. You've always stayed by me, you little baby. you could interpret that any way you want to, but let's interpret what the Bible says, right? He says, son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. Now, let's say that together. Say, everything I have is yours. Come on. Everything I have is yours. Say that one more time. Everything I have is yours. The prodigal son, God's talking to you and me when he spoke to the prodigal son, the son that's always was in church, sort of thing. He said, everything I have belongs to you. That's what he's saying. You know, we need to see what the scriptures are telling us here. Let me just put a scene together for you. We don't need Craig to put this together for us, but I'll just go ahead and read it. Maybe he could put another show for us, a summer special. Don't you love those shows we have? We're having another one. And it's going to be here in this auditorium. It's Easter special. So tell all your friends, we're going to have a great show. Remember Ed Sullivan, Shoe? How many of you remember the Ed Sullivan? We got a great shoe today. A lot of you guys don't remember that. I mean, that's real old. You're not even bored yet when he was walking the earth. He's like 110 years ago. I want to talk to you about David and Goliath. Remember David and Goliath? Well, let's go ahead and look at that. David and Goliath. And 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 to 51, we want to read a story to set the scene. And so, verse 32 says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David said to Saul. "I'll go and fight him." Now, you have to read and appreciate the rest of the story that began, and, you know, to really get the real good picture of it, because this giant, you know, you'll see here what he was doing. "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. I like his faith. He said, he wrote that, you know. He said, "I believe, and therefore I have spoken." Whatever you believe, you need to put it into motion. The way you get faith working out there is begin to put it in motion with your words. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter what it looks like. Faith doesn't work by feelings. Aren't you happy? It works by faith. It's independent of how you feel. You might feel unrighteous, but you say, "Thank God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." You might be sicker than a dog. You say, "Thank God, healing belongs to me." It's kind of crazy for this world to be like that, but that's the way it is. Now, David persisted, verse 34. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it and club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too," he said. "For he has defied the armies of the living God." See, you need to tell your problem, "Hey, I've seen this before, and I'll say this problem just as much as I did the last time. The same God helped me this time is going to help me again." Amen? You like a little bit of victory every once in a while? Well, you should have victory all the time. Some people say, "Hey, you can't have victory all the time. Come on, you got to lose a lot of battles, you know, once in a while." I mean, life is not always like that. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right," he said, "go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. You got to understand that Saul had a part-time job and he was a mailman. I was reading that the other day, and I thought maybe Cindy would appreciate that because she's a male woman. Everybody has a part-time job. David put it on, slapped a sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was, for he had never worn such things before. He said, "I can't go in these," he said. He protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. In verse 40 says, he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with a shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. This guy's out of his head. Verse 41, Goliath walked towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him. He don't need no shield bearer to fight this guy. And naturally speaking, right? Sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. He said, am I a dog? He roared to David, that you come to me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord armies of the armies of God, of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I'll kill you and I'll cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men and to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled there will know that the Lord rescues his people, not with a sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran to meet him. Reaching into a shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in. Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. David triumphed over the Philistine only with a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. And David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they ran, turned and ran. Well, the Bible says, you know, resist the devil, he'll run from you. Now let's talk about a good confession for a moment here. A good confession. What is a good confession? A bad confession. Well, a bad confession is when you speak about things negatively. You speak evil. You speak badly about your life. You speak badly about what's going on. It's not the same thing as, it's not the same thing as explaining a bad situation to somebody. You know, you have to explain things to people. It's like, you know, the Israelites explained, hey, there's giants in the land. They're bigger than this. But listen, we can conquer them. You're constantly complaining. If you're constantly complaining about bad situations, everybody you meet every day, that's a bad confession. Go down to the, intercity, sit around there, wait for the guys to come over. So you could talk to them how bad life has been. And how you can't find a job. And how everybody else in the church is mad at you. Huh? And how there's no chicken. You haven't ate chicken for a long time. No? So just talk bad. So when you speak angrily and say negative things and make negative remarks about your life, like this, I always get sick in the fall. When the weather comes, cold weather comes in, I always get sick. My grandfather was this way. My great-grandfather was this way. We always had sore throats, you know. And their backs always gave out about 45. And I'm getting that, you know. And so on and on and on. And saying things, I'll never get ahead in life. Because I always have bad luck. You know, if I bought a ticket, I'd probably never win. Well, you shouldn't buy a ticket anyway, unless the Lord told you. If I won a ticket, I said, the Lord told me. So, if you say, oh, you know, I'm weak. I have a weak disposition. You know, you're feeling down, and nobody loves me. It never works out for me. My love life never works out. The devil is always attacking me. How about that one? Huh? The devil always attacks me about 6:30 on Friday. You know? Every time I have a good service, I go out and the devil attacks me. When you make these bad statements, such as I've just read to you, that's a bad confession, my friend. It's not a bad confession if you have to explain to somebody what's happening to you. Not complaining, but telling someone, they ask you something, let me tell you. Now, you don't have to tell them anything, but if you have to, you can tell them what's going on. And that's not a bad confession. it really works really good if you believe it. If you really believe those bad things and you say it, it will happen. But if you don't believe it and you always say it, eventually you'll believe it and it'll come to pass. Because whatever you say goes into your ears and goes down to your spirit. It builds a sense of unbelief and instability in you. Because you can tell someone when they're a kid, you're no good, you're no good, you'll never end up anything. You tell a kid that, that'll stay in their spirit. And, you need somebody to tell you something good. So a bad confession is not explaining a bad situation that you're experiencing or going whatever you're going through in your body or in your relationships or in your finances or in your home or in your ministry. You know, we got to consider our words, our complaints. And so never be critical about what God is doing or doesn't seem to be doing, right? It's important for us to speak right, even in the midst of difficult, hard times. And use our words correctly. No matter what happens in life, it's an opportunity for your faith to start working. And don't expect everything to work out 100% and everything's going to work your way just because you're believing. Don't ever think about you'll never have opposition. Everybody has their own faith. And we can help people. We can believe for people. Our family members, when they don't know enough, when they get out there, we can stand for them. Right? We can pray for people. And use our faith. And find out what the scripture said and stand on that. And don't be lazy. Study the Bible. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful just to hand off your prayer request to everybody and they'll get it for you? You'll get it by Thursday. You get yours on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work that way. You got your own spirituality. You got to take care of your own home, your spiritual home. And learn to cultivate your faith and build faith. You know, I don't understand how people just go, you know, in social media and ask everybody to pray their prayers for them that they should be doing themselves. Watch me next week. I'll be doing that. No, you got your own thing. When Bible says, Jesus said, when you take your friend's prayer request in your prayer closet, remember that in scripture he said that in chapter 6? No, he didn't say that. He said, when you go take your prayer request in the closet. He said, you know, what about Philippians 4:6, you know? Casting all your wife's cares to the Lord and he'll take care of you. No, taking your cares. The Bible says, whatsoever you believe. Not whatever grandpa believes, but what you believe. Now, there's times when people get into trouble, family members, we can stand for them when they get off course, just like the prodigal son's father. He'd been waiting for a long time for his son. He's expecting. Don't say, I bet they'll never come home. They'll probably die. Don't say that. They'll die. You know, Brother Higgins said, if I allow those guys to pray for me, I'd be dead. Certain people, like, you know, they said, let's go ahead and pray for him. I said, I heard, you know, I was half unconscious. I was sick. I was 17 years old. And somebody came over. They said, they brought this minister over. He said, Lord, bless the bereaving parents for what's going to happen. This boy is going to die. He heard all that. He said, if I let that guy pray for me, I would have died if the only guy is praying for me. So don't let just any old minister pray for you. Find someone who believes God. Yeah? He said, Lord, pray for me. If not, just let him die. No. We need to pray. God will bless us and heal. Right? If that's the kind of guy, just kick him out of your house. I remember we was at we were at this. These ministers and people came in there. They're just not believing God. And my mom was dying. I said, you know, I don't want you here. I was a real Ojibwe. My dad taught me this. He said, if you don't like something, just tell him. Because I remember my mom, my dad, you know, bring a girlfriend home. My dad says, I don't like you. Don't come back here. But girlfriends I've had. And I'm a grown man. Grown behind man. And so, you know, he would just say, don't come back. Another girl would come home and visit. They say, is Roma home? Well, I don't want you to come back here. Well, first of all, I'm in my early 20s. I shouldn't be living at home anyway. If I don't want anybody bothered me, I need to have my own home apartment, eh? But when my wife came over, and he didn't say anything to her, but he said to me one day, where's that girl that you brought over? I said, what girl? The one with the blue eyes. Bring her back over. So she was okay. This is not in the sermon, right? So this is just part of it. We'll cut this out. Well, you know something. Your parents get involved in your life, right? No matter how old you are. No matter how old, I know my parents and that, they want to just jump in and just give their opinion, right? Baba, do you still do that with kids? Yeah, okay. See, I told you. So by the way, I'm coming over for pierogies. I'm not sure when the house is open. If you hear him knocking at the door. Okay, so no matter what happens in life, no matter what's going on in life, don't say anything bad. Find something good. Like Brother Higgins said, this old guy who died, his old character, he was mean as a dog, junkyard dog. He's just mean, and he died. And everybody said bad things about him. And this one guy, he never said anything, ever said anything bad. So he asked this other fellow about the old fella who died. He said, what do you think about him? He said, oh, he had nice teeth. He found something good to say. So find something good to say to somebody. I mean, that sounds a little, a stupid way of explaining it, but you'll remember it next time. So no matter what happens, say something good. David could have said, I'm going back home. This giant is too big. You know? So he could have just said, my brother's out there, ask him to fight that giant. I can collect all my brothers together and we'll go, you go from the high, that way, I go from that way, and we'll get him. But he went out there and killed that giant, right? So no matter what happens in life, you say something good. Psalm 34:1, one of my favorite scriptures about this, David, he said this, I'll praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. That's all the time. His praise will always be in my mouth. I'm always going to praise God. I'm always going to thank God. This morning I got up, I started thanking God for everything. Lord, thank you for this bed. I didn't have a bed when I was a kid. I thank you for these blankets. Thank you that I'm not sick today. Thank you that the sun's shining. I just started thanking God for just little things. And start getting blessed. So this is also a statement, like this man David, Paul and Silas made during a very, very rough time. Now you have to remember, David was experiencing a very, very crucial part of his life where someone was about to kill him, try to kill him, destroy him. He's running, he's hiding from the king. But he said, I'm going to praise the Lord at all times. And over here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, 26, now we're talking about right here in this section about learning to speak right, learning to give God praise no matter what happens in your life. It says over here at midnight. Everybody say midnight. Now, literally speaking, this was a midnight hour. It was 12 o'clock, 12 a.m. apparently. He must have looked at his watch or something. Or somebody was watching. He said, oh, it's 12 o'clock. And I don't know who was writing this. I think Luke was writing this. She must have been writing. I wonder what time it was. And the Lord says, it's 12 o'clock. Okay, it's 12 o'clock. He must have wrote that down. All right? Can you imagine that? So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They weren't complaining. They were praying and singing songs to God. They weren't singing songs for each other. I want to sing you a song. We get Lisa, let her sing us a song and drive us to the heights of heaven. Right? Every Sunday morning, you know, what a pressure to put on Lisa. Okay, you all sing me higher, Lisa. No, you shut up, Ritter. You shut up. You start singing. Help her out a little bit. Right? Okay. You know, so singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. So they're people paying attention to what you're saying. Right? Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. Now, there was an earthquake over there on the other side of the world. Listen, this was a different kind. And the prison was shaken. Everybody say massive. Earthquake. Say, prison shaken. So the foundation of prisons was shaken. That's a whole lot of fire. Verse 26 says, the doors flew open. Everybody say, doors flew open. That's something else. Right? And everyone's chains, or the chains of every prisoner, fell off. Everybody say, the chains fell off. I mean, is that just, you know, earthquake happening and all of a sudden chains just fall off? Well, there's something going on here. Yeah? So it's telling us something. So it says immediately all the doors flew open, chains of every prisoner fell off. This was literally happening, but also this, symbolically speaking, is talking about you spiritually. In your life, you might have a prison experience sitting at home in fear or whatever it is. You're chained to poverty. You can't go anywhere, to the mall. Right? I can't buy anything. Why? I don't have any money. Why don't you have any money? I don't have a job. Well, the Bible says work. What do you mean work? I don't have a job. Well, the Bible says work. I don't have a job. Bible says work. Then there must be, if God says work, there's got to be a job. Right? So everybody here should have a job. Right? Somebody, you know, whatever it is, if you know, you could go to the, I don't know, you went somewhere. You know? Well, anyway. Okay, so, spiritually speaking, some people have chains. Some people are behind a door. Whatever's stopping you. But you say, oh, I can't do anything. I'm sick over here. I can't go anywhere. Everywhere I go, doors close. Everywhere I go. I feel like I'm chained to something. Well, quit saying that. Right? So you could say, you know what? God can make a change here for me. Praise God. Am I helping you a little bit or just, I don't want to antagonize you. You get bad, maybe you should get bad. Look what James says. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, New Living. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, what kind of trouble are you in? Well, I got this kind of trouble. He said, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What is that guy sick? No, he's thinking about something else. So you can't consider something joyful if you don't know what's happening. The Bible says that faith, when you have faith, there's joy there. If you have faith, joy comes. You just laugh. There's sometimes I just laugh at things that's very serious. I started laughing. I didn't want to laugh. It just came out of my spirit. I started laughing in the nighttime. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it because, you know, God put, you put the word in there, and then your problems are, and I started laughing at myself. So what am I laughing at? There's nothing anything funny about this. No, there's nothing funny about it, but the Holy Ghost is doing something. Oh yeah, God, he's doing something right now. He's doing something right now, you know, for us. So, for you know that when your faith is tested, if you ever use it, your endurance has a chance to grow. He said, well, I haven't grown so much. Well, start using your faith. And the way you use faith is through your mouth, is what you say. Jesus said, whatever you say, you can have what you say. Not what you said, but what I say. I can say what I say, and you can say what you say, right? But I can't say for you what you want me to say for you. Unless we do it together, right? Or we could choose or what? Huh? So I said, I'm just going to say you get happy. Pastor Ken, I phoned Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken, please sing for me. I want to be happy. That's what it says over there, right? Cottondale Joy. If you're happy, sing songs. I said, well, I'm really happy. Ed, can you sing me a song? He said, you're nuts. Sing your own song. Okay, listen. We're going to get out of here. So it says here, let it grow when your endurance, verse 4, is fully developed, you'll be perfect, complete, needing nothing. The Bible says, knowing this, and if you don't know that you're supposed to praise God and thank God that it's actually going to get you out of this situation, then you actually can never have joy because you don't know this. You only can have joy when you know this, that this works, that your faith is going to grow. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30-32, it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go up at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them, they said. They're stronger than we are, verse 32. So they spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And all the people we saw were huge. So when we read the exchange between Moses and the Lord in chapter 14 and see what the confessions produced, all those who had a negative confession died in the wilderness because of what they said in their complaining. Look at the following statement. Numbers 14, 28 and 29, New Living Translation. God says over here to Moses, tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Verse 29, you will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complain against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older that was included in this registration will die. That's not a good report. I want, you know, it's crazy. We need to start talking right. Proverbs 6:2, the common English says, you will be trapped by your words. You'll be caught by your words. Proverbs 12 and 6 says this, the King James, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. In other words, you can deliver yourself. You don't have to phone any hotline or anything. Right? I realize that we're here to help people because they don't know any better. We have to help people. That's why we're here. But you, I expect something different from you because you've been sitting here for all these months and years. Right? And that's why we have prayer partners out there who will answer the phone and say, Les, okay, tell me what you want. I'm going to pray right now. I delivered someone who had a devil not too long ago over the phone in another province. It actually works. My certificate works over on the other side. Huh? Yeah, the registration in heaven says, okay, it works there too. I prayed for somebody in BC once, and they are filled with the Spirit of God because I prayed for them. Somebody had a devil, and we prayed. I had these kids one day afternoon. They all prayed. They phoned me. I think it was a Saturday night. They said, "Oi, we've been messing around the Ouija boards, and we're all scared, and it's talking to us. We can't shut it up. Can you pray for us?" So I said, "You got to repent first." And so, you know, every once in a while we get those calls because they know we believe in that. We believe that you can. Because when you have problems like that, I'm sure you're going to find somebody who pray for you. Right? So you find a variety of scriptures on how important words are and how they can define your life. Look at the book of Proverbs. Look and see what the writer says about the results of words. So the way we speak is so important. We can bring life or death, cursing or blessing. Proverbs 13:3 says the New Living Translation is, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Right? Just open your mouth means just say what you want to say. You say, I don't know, I'll just say what I want to say. No, you can get into a lot of trouble. And then you might die too. Proverbs over there. Proverbs 12 and 6 says this. The words of the wicked are like murderous ambush. But the words of the godly save lives. Verse 13 says, the wicked are trapped by their own words. But the godly escape such trouble. You can get yourself out of trouble by speaking the right words. Some people make cutting remarks. How many people know that words can cut people? I can cut you up. Right? You see, people, you know, I want, you know, you got to watch your tongue. It's pretty sharp. Okay, so cutting remarks. But the words of the wise bring healing. You can bring healing with your words. You say, be healed. You know, right? Be healed. Oh, yeah. Verse 25. Worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Sometimes it's like to phone somebody and say, hey, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. You say, what do you want? Nothing. Just want to tell you. Huh? You don't want to say, hey, I want to tell you, I really, really hate you. No, I love you. You tell somebody that something nice, right? Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul, abusive language. Let everything you say be good, helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Here's what the Apostle James said about how powerful our words are when we release them from our mouths. James chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, New Living. Indeed, we all make mistakes. Who doesn't make a mistake here? Nobody. Everybody makes mistakes. For if we would control our tongue, we would be perfect and we could control ourselves in every other way. Verse 3 says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth. Verse 4, and a small rudder can make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Today, in many Christian circles, maybe church circles, criticize, they don't know nothing about, and they say things that are detrimental to their own soul. We have said, you know, sometimes we say things out of context in church about things. Some people say, this confession thing doesn't work. But it works. So we have to align our mouth with what God says in His promises. We need to say what the Bible says, and what the Bible says belongs to us. And so we need to make that our confession. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual or effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. As we say what the Bible says is ours, we begin to take that into ourselves. Thank God. As I close this scripture, Mark 11, 23, says, "Verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said," in other words, what you say is your words, "will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." So Jesus taught this. James taught this. And we see the examples in illustrated for us in David's life with the giant. We see this example illustrated for us in Paul and Silas' life. It can make or break us today. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I give you praise and we give you thanksgiving and honor and glory, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Everybody stand up. Thank you. I give you praise. I give you thanksgiving. Thank you for those that are watching online. And we're believing with them as well. If they make their own confessions, I want you in your own heart make a confession of faith. Make a statement under your breath and say whatever it is you need. Say, "Father, we want to thank you that your word endures. That no matter what happens, you've already arranged situations for me. There's nothing that can come up that you've already made me strong to overcome it. There's nothing that can come up that I will not be defeated by it. You said you always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus." So as our pastor says, I will not quit. I will not be defeated. And so we will not quit. We believe and therefore we say. And this giant will fall. And this mountain shall be moved. And this wall shall crumble. And no matter what it is we're facing, we stand in the Word of God. And as we've given financially, we say, all this is coming back to me. We speak over our harvests that's coming. Devil, you get your hands off our harvest. We command you to get away from it in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off every area of our finances in the name of Jesus. And we receive by faith, according to God's promises, the supply that we need. You said that God is a God of more than enough. We'll have more than what we need. And as we thank you, God, Lord, you said in your word that you're leading the way, directing lives. That there's not one person in this room that you haven't left out. And you know that whatever they're going through right now, they're going to come out of it. They're coming out of this right now. And you've already arranged it. You've already done something. And so we give you praise for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power, gifts, and manifestation, the gifts of faith, miracles, gifts of faith. We give you praise for the administration of these gifts. We thank you for it. And words of knowledge, as people pray in their prayer time, they'll get words of wisdom, words of knowledge, that you're working mightily on their behalf. And this giant will fall. And this will not be the end, but it's going to be a great time, Lord God, of enjoying your great harvest. Your word never fails. Not one word will fall to the ground as we hang on to this word. We say with our mouth, because we believe it, that we are more than conquerors, that we're giant slayers. We're not grasshoppers. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how it looks like. I don't work by how, I don't operate how by it looks like. I operate by what the Word of God says, and God says, I am triumphant. I'm a winner. I'm stable. I'm healed. I'm supplied. I'm protected. I am strong. I'm stronger than how I feel. I'm stronger than how I look. God, you're making go over these situations and not one of these things. Lord God, you cover them with your blood. You cover them with your feathers, you said. You put a canopy over them. The enemy will not take them out. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every home, every household. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every child, all the family members, the mothers and the fathers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the aunts and uncles. And we pray in the name of Jesus. We claim all those that are wayward. We're standing in faith. And the devil will not kill them. Devil will not destroy them. Ha, 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 devil. The Bible says that you are a deliverer. You said, quit your crying. Quit your whining. Then I'll fight for you. Then I'll bring them back into the fold. Thank you. Though it looks hard, you're not cursed, you're blessed. From everlasting to everlasting, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are in the palm of my hand. And, the blessings of God are about to overtake you. Oh, just around the corner. So don't give up. Just begin to see with the eyes of faith. Faith sees the answer. Faith sees what God has done. And as we begin to lift up our spirit, our faith, and begin to claim it, God, yes, you've done it. So we give you praise and thanksgiving, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Woo!